today, unfortunately. We weren't quite expecting on Thursday night to turn out the way she took here. We had to call the paramedics. Thankfully, Millie was there, did a great job, and we got the paramedics, so she's in good hands, being dealt with and looked after, and we'll just see where we go from there. So at the end of the meeting, I'm going to have to race straight off because I need to get over to Nottingham to be with her, but she sends her love. She remains strong, and of course, God is in control of everything, so we give him the glory in advance as he continues to see us through in this situation we're in at the moment. But we give God glory without any doubt. You know, you know, one of the things I've discovered about Christianity is when you get to know God, you get to understand how much he cares for his people. All through time, all throughout the whole of time, he has been focused on his people. Everything is about caring, everything is about protecting and nurturing, and being everything that he can be for all and everyone. And as Christians, we have that strength. No matter what we go through in life, we can be assured of that. We had a lesson talking about elders and eldership, and how in John 21, if you remember, where Jesus goes to Peter and says, "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Feed my sheep." And then he said, "Feed my lambs." And we talked about how the fact that the three times Peter denied Christ, and three times he comes back with the only thing that he's truly about, and that is love. He wanted to hear him say, "Yes, Lord, I love you," three times. And I often think about the times in our lives when we neglect God and reject God and fail God and let him down. And every time, the one thing that strikes me is love. The love of a loving God. And how he's there to protect his people, how he's there to protect. This morning I was privileged to be in the class with the younger children, and we were talking about the Israelites. So we were talking about how God was talking of their failings of their fathers who forgot them. Forgot him, forgot God, forgot all the marvelous things that he did for them, forgot about the Red Sea and piling up to make them a path to walk through. So easy for people to forget God. And the failings of this is the crux of the lesson today. You see, we are called upon to be followers of Christ. We are called upon to follow him. We are called upon to walk in his steps and walk in his footsteps and in his footprints. And this was one of the complaints of God that he had with the Israelites, as we were talking in our class this morning. That the Israelites wouldn't walk in God's feet. They wouldn't walk in God's ways. They wanted to walk in their own ways. And they continued to forget him and reject him and let him down. But God, this loving God, says, "I care about you. I care about you. But in order for me to be able to do and protect you, I need you to walk in a way of following me." Jesus came as flesh in human form. When he died, the church was established on the day of Pentecost, instructed by him to the apostles, who he was told to go and wait, and when the time was right, there was to go, and they were to gather, and the church was to begin, and we read the account in Acts chapter 2 of that amazing day. And the same calling that God called upon the Israelites back in the Old Testament, we are called upon as a church now to walk in his ways, to listen to his message, to listen to his voice. As he said to the Israelites, he said, "Listen to my voice, hear my voice, take heed of my voice. I will put on your lips my words." In other words, I want you to proclaim my message. I want you to speak of my amazing story. And I want the world to see. And as Jesus came in flesh, and as this all came together, and as we become the body of Christ through immersion, through baptism, through belief and acceptance, being added to his church, we become the body of Christ in the form of the life that we are living as Christians. So as a church, brethren, the world needs to see him in us. That means in every situation that we are faced with, all the conflicts, all the trials, all the struggles, all the times that we fall weak, and things are going wrong in our lives, he says the world needs to see Jesus in you. And through whatever you go through in your life, sometimes we talked the other week about how God, he sees everything. God is aware of everything. And he sees the hiding places of Satan. And he warns us. And we, if we don't take heed, fall victim to that. And so the world should see him in us. This is the way that we should live. In John 8 and verse 12, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I want you to understand something. When there's darkness, there is no Christ. Because darkness and Christ, they don't go together. He is the light, which means that the light will always dissipate the dark. Always. It will always dissipate. If you walk in a life of darkness, Christ is missing. When people in the world are talking about the struggles in their life and the way that they're finding it difficult to live, it's because Christ is not in their life. If Christ is not in your life, you're in darkness. You can say what you like, you will be in darkness. It will not be penetrating your life and helping your life and protecting your life because you're not walking in him. You're not walking in him. When you walk in the light will always overpower the darkness. And the only way that darkness will intervene will be when the light goes out, like in Revelation, when we look at the church and the candle, the light of gone out. And so you can appreciate the importance of how we have to be careful not to walk in darkness. We have to be careful not to allow the darkness to overcome the light. And the challenge is to be the light in our lives. That means when things are going wrong, or when something happens, or when things aren't, you know, maybe it's a financial struggle or a physical circumstance, but even with what we're dealing with in our home. All of those things you can never allow. You can never allow Satan to win and allow him to use those times to bring darkness into your house or into your homes or into your lives. And so the challenge, brethren, is for us to be the light. Darkness is everything that Jesus Christ is not. Everything that he is not. Jesus says, follow me and have the light of life. The story of the blind man. And Jesus sits on the ground and makes a claim and rubs it in his eyes and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And he went away and he came back seeing. As Christians, we should remember the time when Christ was not in our life. We should remember the time when we never have our salvation. Just as the Israelites should remember their past, they should remember what God has done to deliver them from that. And we too, in the same way, just as the blind man, as the clay is put in his eyes and he goes and washes in the pool of Siloam and he comes back seeing, he would never forget that. And we should never forget the day that Jesus came into our life and the day that Jesus transformed us. And so we should never allow the darkness to take over. We need encouragement from his word. And, you know, even at times, God's word challenges each one of us. There will be days when we get challenged. God's word brings to his highest standard challenges to us. And I recall for the last year, certainly many years, but just this last year, or 2023 to now, many challenges that have come from this building, from our teachers, from our preachers, from many people who have presented lessons, many challenges through the classes, even going through the Gospel of Matthew. Do you remember, can you remember the challenges that you had? Did you feel uncomfortable? Were there times when then lessons were being presented and you were feeling a little bit uncomfortable? There were things in there that we didn't want to quite hear? Or maybe things that we're not preparing to change? Well, you see, in order for us to be Christ, we have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to adapt our lives. We have to be willing to walk as Christ walked. And that means that there are things in our lives that we have to change in order to be like Him. We cannot walk in Jesus' footsteps and live with challenges that we're not willing to change. We need Scripture to grow. You know, we don't need this Word of God to fill our heads with knowledge. We need this Word of God to fill our hearts with the desire to change and make changes in our lives. And sometimes they'll take time. A lot of prayer, a lot of effort, and we don't always conquer them. Sometimes we're fighting, but we have to try, and we have to be working with God at the end of our life. You know, there are many examples in Scripture of challenges that we need to be aware of, how important it is. You know, the Scripture isn't just about just building us up, but it's about edifying us and training us and teaching us and helping us to learn. And a fine example would be our children, as we bring our children, our parents will know the importance of discipline and the importance of teaching, even practical things in life, such as crossing a road and what you can and can't eat and what is hot and what is electricity and all these kind of things. It's done through discipline. It's done through education. And we have to treat the Word of God in the same way. Scripture needs to be something that challenges our lives, because we will never change unless we allow it to challenge us. And it is a challenge for all of us, including myself. You know, there are days when I see things and I know I have to work at them and make the changes that are necessary. And in Hebrews 6, verse 19 through 20, we see this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, of which enters the presence behind the veil. And this is the piece that always strikes me, and I love to share this, where the form has entered for us. Even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And we see that Jesus enters as a forerunner. One who runs in front, one who runs ahead, one who goes through things that we are going through, but he went through first. He went through those things. The same race was run by Jesus in human form. The Son of God took on flesh. He didn't take on flesh and not allow himself to be fully immersed in the physical things that we face. Whatever the desires, whatever the mentality, whatever the thinking, whatever was temptations were placed before him, Jesus was the forerunner. He was the one who runs in front of us, the same race that we are in, he accomplished. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 2, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see, this life takes endurance. I used to struggle with this as a younger person, because I never used to see it. I never used to think, well, this Christian life, really, it's not really endurance. But that was because I was never in the race properly. I had to be educated and taught exactly what this walking Christian life is. This juggling with the temptations and this holding back with the desires and this wanting to fulfill the journey to heaven is not an easy path to take. That is why many people fall away from the body of Christ. They give up. They give up on the ranks, and yet our Saviour was the forerunner. He's done it. And he says that the race that is set before us, we need to go at this race looking unto Jesus. He's the one that we look to. When we are facing our trials, when we are facing our temptations, look to Jesus. Why? Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. He wrote it. He put it together. He ran the race and he completed it. And he's the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, he even endured more than we may ever face in our life on this earth. And when we look at that, we see our forerunner and the one who went before us, we see somebody who went beyond and went through far worse situations and was able to stand firm and set that perfect example for his people to follow. So to follow him is to be his reflection. To follow Jesus Christ needs to be just like him, not just to admire him, but to be like him. And so in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. He's been through it. He's experienced it in the understanding. He was tempted as we are tempted. And if he lived on earth as God, how could we follow? You know, our lives need to change and we need to develop. And so it's important that we as Christians understand this, because sometimes we think we can't follow him because he is God. But we need to remember that he was on this earth as flesh. And the example that he set was the same example that we can use in our lives today to be better people. At Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. And sometimes we lack confidence. We fail in our confidence. But he says, let us approach God's throne. That is the ability that we have as Christians to be in his presence, to be before him. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our hour of need. So we can follow him in our lives and we can be the best that we can be, because he loves us and cares so much for us. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, no temptation has ever overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And sometimes we face things and think, I'm not going to get through this, I can't do this, I can't get through this. But he is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And so we need to have that strength of believing him in that way. We need to be striving to follow Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. We refer to that many times here. The question is, can we say that? Can we say to people, follow me, I follow Christ? Probably we say, don't follow me. Don't follow me. We should be having the confidence there to be able to say, well, you can follow me as I follow Christ. Reverend, our Lord, he's a loving God. He's a loving Saviour. He set the standard. He set the path. And he calls upon us to follow him. Be followers of him. Allow him to be the one that will guide our lives and shield us and protect us and help us to grow and mature. Feed on his holy word. Seek the best that we can to be just as he would want us to be. This journey is not easy. we'll only make it to heaven if we walk in his footsteps. If we follow his path and the example that was set by the Israelites, when we look at the example in the Old Covenant, that was their downfall. Their downfall was that they were not willing to follow. They were not willing to listen. They were not willing to remember. I pray that we as the church, as Christians, understand the importance of this message today, that God has given us. This is his holy word. And he calls upon you to see him and follow him and walk in his ways as we go on through this journey to our eternal salvation. Let's have an invitation.